Hi, I'm Rob Nesbitt and this is the ProCartoon.com podcast. I look at the tools of the trade, tips, tricks, podcast reviews and interviews and more to help you in your cartooning and artistic work. In this episode of the Pro Cartoon podcast, I talk to Richard Holden from Tidewater, which is located on the coast just over 60 miles northeast of the Virginia state capital of Richmond. I had first been contacted by Richard a couple of years ago asking a question about Photoshop, which I featured in episode 2 of the podcast. I recently made a request in the most recent Pro Cartoon newsletter for cartoonists and other related trades and crafts to appear in the show. Richard contacted me and after seeing his amazing work, we fixed up a Skype interview which you can listen to. I really enjoyed discussing his progression from cartoonist to amazing woodcarver. I love cartooning, but it fascinates me when the cartoons lift off the page into the three-dimensional world, and in this case, 3D world of woodcarving. Richard, who is multi-talented, produces some beautiful pieces of art, teaches his craft, and has published books on the subject to help other carvers and cartoonists to produce their own work. I also give a personal update and answer some more of your questions, which I really appreciate you sending in. Please keep them coming through the contacts page. The two winners of the May prize draw, a $25 Amazon voucher, are Pro Cartoon newsletter subscribers Rex Conger from Evanston, Wyoming, and Jeannie Johnson from Woodstock, Connecticut. If you're a Pro Cartoon newsletter subscriber, you get automatic entry to the prize draws that I regularly hold. You can see the show notes and the transcription of the podcast at ProCartoon.com on the podcast page. Okay, let's dive straight into the podcast. Hello, Richard, and welcome to the podcast.
How are you, sir?
Very good today. Thank you very much. Before we dive in, could you tell me a bit about yourself and how your career in cartoon started?
Well, cartooning for me started when I was a little kid and the Sunday comics would come. And unlike most people, when the paper would come, I would grab the comics and instead of reading those to see what would make me laugh, I would flip through them to see which one caught my eye and begin to sketch it out and see if I could reproduce it. Oh, and that's how my cartooning career started.
That sounds very much like mine, actually, because I was an avid comic reader and I used to look at all the cartoons in the newspapers as well. So that sounds quite familiar, that.
Exactly.
Going on from there, when did your interest in carving start?
My interest in carving actually started in the early 80s, and it was actually spawned from the fact that I was from a generation that walked around with a pocket knife. We were still allowed to carry those. So I actually, one day I was walking through the town that we lived in, and we didn't have sidewalks. We just had these deep ditches, so you had to pay attention to where you were walking. And I was coming along and there's a stick that was in the way. So instead of just picking up and throwing it off to the side, I pulled out my knife and started cutting on it. And then one thing led to another and I started carving out characters.
Yeah, if you were carrying a knife around now, it'd be a different story, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
You've combined the two. And how did that come about? Because it's really interesting to me because I've done something similar. My cartoons off paper, I transfer to driftwood figures, something similar to yours, but you're far more along the line than I am with it. So when did you discover that it was a good thing to combine cartoons with carvings?
Actually, it was in 2011, and I had become a stay-home dad from an injury that my wife had sustained. And really, what spawned it is I knew I was going to be a stay-home dad, so I had bought a wood lathe, and I wanted to see what I could do just to keep myself occupied on those downtimes. And I had basically shaped out a snowman with a top hat. And so it was basically a top hat and three different shaped balls. And at the end of it, I said, you know, if I had carved this, I could have actually made it into something a little bit more expressive. So then I began to actually see, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get rid of the wood lathe and I'm going to get back into carving and I'm going to see what I can do with the gifts God's given me. And it really spawned from there.
You're right though. I've looked at the carving characters that you've done, and I'm quite envious really, because you can get so much more characteristics and character out of a piece of wood when you carve it than just like I do. I just paint straight onto it, and all the detail is paint, but yours is a combination of paint and carving. It's just brilliant.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You're doing all this carving, but where do you do it? You said you had a lathe. Was that, you've got a workshop, or do you do?
No, actually, all my carving is done from the living room while my son sits on the couch and my wife sits in her chair and we're watching TV. I've got a little apron that I wear that has a little tubing attached to it that holds the pocket of the apron open. And I actually went to the hardware store and added some tubing to make sure that it you know is a really defined shape. So I just sit in the living room and carve. And underneath my roll top desk, I've actually got a few cigar boxes that I was given with different size wood. So on any given day, I can just grab a piece of wood, pull out my knives, and go at it.
That's brilliant. So really, you can take your carving anywhere. You don't need a workshop. You're quite mobile with it, I suppose. It's a bit like taking it's a bit like cartooning, where you can take it on holiday with you, or if you're working and you've got a couple of hours spare somewhere else, you can just whittle away, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, when I do my cartooning, I take little pieces of 5x7 watercolor paper and I'll sketch out just a cartoon. Once it gets to the stage that I like it, I'll get out my watercolor pencils and paint it up. The same's true with my carvings. I'll take a little block wood. And the main thing I carve are faces, because when I used to cartoon, I used to love to draw just different faces. And I do the same thing when I carve. I'll just carve out, and what I call them is carving doodles, because I don't actually draw anything onto the wood. I just start building the face and let it evolve into whatever.
Yeah, that's the best way. You're far more creative when you just let it roll, really, aren't you? And that's the way I like working.
Well, and the nice thing is it's not only relaxing for me just to sit there and kind of meditate while I'm carving, but I don't have a concept of what it's going to become unless I'm carving like a pilot or a Santa ornament. So the fun thing is to watch it slowly become something.
Yeah, that's great. In the UK, where I live, there doesn't seem to be that sort of enthusiasm or the popularity for wood carving, but it seems to be huge in America, particularly, woodwork and wood carving. Is there a sort of a community around you that you can share ideas and meet up with people?
There's really not. The biggest community of wood carvers that I'm attached with are on Facebook. There's a wood carving club up about an hour and 40 minutes away from me, but at the time they meet, I'm at work. In North Carolina and different states, there's a stronger presence of wood carvers, but unfortunately in my area, there's not much.
Oh, I thought there may have been, because I go on the internet quite a bit. I look at woodwork as well. I've got another website, Crafts Finder, and perhaps it's just the impression I'm getting off the internet that is a huge thing in America.
It is, except you know the thing is, there are a lot of carving clubs out there, but some of the carving clubs are having a hard time staying open and keeping active because so many people want to do that. They want to go online and they want that online presence. So there are a lot of carvers that do a lot of videos. A lot of folks now are just sitting at home spending their time carving with other carvers online opposed to going to clubs.
And after this forced lockdown, I suppose that's the way things will progress, I think.
Yeah, I'm hoping things open back up. There was a couple carving shows that I was supposed to go to that got shut down. But the nice thing about the internet is that's actually how I've become known with different people in different states, is through Facebook and through some of the carving clubs and groups on Facebook.
You can find anything, do anything, and learn anything, really, you know. The Woodcarvers of America, you got involved with that. How did that come about? And you went to competitions. How does that work?
You're talking about the Caricature Carvers of America.
Yes, that's it.
Yes. That's an organization that started years ago, and their whole, I guess, purpose in life is to not only encourage woodcarvers, but encourage caricature carving, which is kind of like a cartoon version in carving. They have a limited number of membership. So they usually keep 25 active members. And then, of course, they have the emeritus members. But they have a competition every year. And back in 2012, when I was getting back into carving, a real good friend of mine and mentor, Mark Akers, who we met online, he was encouraging me and helping me move along in my carving career. And at one point he said, hey, you know what? You should really consider entering some pieces in the Caricature Carvers of America. And I had only been carving for about a year. So I was like, oh, you've got to be out of your mind. And lo and behold, between his encouragement and my wife's, I entered a few pieces. And my first time entering, I got a fifth place for an ornament.
Brilliant.
So it's pretty exciting.
It's a bit different, though, to actually go into an event. I think with these, you send them through the post, don't you?
Yeah, everybody told me how exciting it was and fun it was, and it is. But it's different because you box up your piece, you ship them out to them in August. They judge them, and then you pay the return postage, and it gets mailed back to you. So it's exciting. I joke with people, it's exciting for about 10 minutes when you open your box and you find out if you got ribbons or not.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, well, time to carve again.
Could you go through the actual process from start to finish? So, you know, you've got a commission or you've got an idea from the very beginning to the finished article. What sort of process do you go through?
Well, everything I do, like I said before, I do from scratch. I just carve from a block of wood. So basically what I'll do is I'll start with a block of wood. And if I know that I'm going to carve like a Santa or an ornament, I'll shape the hat first. And a lot of carvers don't. They carve the face first. I carve the hat first because it's easier for me if I carve the hat and then I make the face match underneath. But once I've got the hat formed, then I'll start by carving underneath the nose and setting up the nose. Then I'll start setting in the eyes around the nose. And once I have somewhat of an expression built in with the eyes, then I'll match up the mouth and the rest of the face to match the expression of the nose and the eyes. So I slowly go from section to section, but it builds as I go the full piece.
Yeah. Do you sketch out the ideas first, or is it just straight off the bat?
It's straight off the bat. I just start carving the chunk of wood. Most people do draw in, and they actually recommend that you do. But I kind of treat it the way as I did when I would cartoon, that I would just start drawing a line and just let it slowly build into the character that it's going to be.
Yeah, and you always get a better result like that, I think. Here's a shout out to all cartoonists who would like some free advertising for their products or services. If you're a cartoonist and would like to advertise your services, I'm setting up a section on ProCartoon.com for cartoonists and other artists to showcase their talents. The first 10 that apply will get free ad placement. To apply, simply contact me, Rob Nesbitt, via the contact page on ProCartoon.com. Send me an outline of what you do, what you have to offer, plus contact details, and I will send out the format to submit your free ad space, which will be a page to yourself, plus images of your work, contact details, etc. You've written two books, which I found interesting, and I've had a quick look on. You've got them for sale on Amazon, Cartoons to Carvings, and It All Began with a Pencil. What made you decide to become a published author?
Well, the first one was a pattern book for woodcarvers, and the way that came about, I had a gentleman that had seen some of my cartoons. He's a carver. And he had contacted me and said, hey, I was interested in seeing if you could develop a character for me that I could end up carving. So I said, sure, what do you want? And the worst thing was, is he contacted me and I lost the note in the pile on my roll top desk. So it was a year later that we actually got in touch and started the actual process. But he wanted a hobo. So I drew up a hobo for him. And as I was doing this, my friend and mentor, Mark Akers, I would send him photographs. And I would say, okay, well, this is what I've got in development. What do you think? Could you carve from this if I sent this pattern to you? And he would tell me areas that I needed to work in and reshape things. But I finally got the character done. Mark told me that he could carve from it easy. I sent it to the gentleman that had requested it, and he actually ended up carving the piece and winning a ribbon from it. So then he contacted me again. He said, hey, I'd like to do another piece. Could you design? And the second one was a Santa hobo. So I designed that, went through the same process where I sent pictures to Mark and said, you know, how am I coming? Could you carve from this? At the end of that, at the end of the second one, he said, really, Richard, what you should consider doing, instead of doing individual pieces, you should develop a book. He said, so you should start drawing up some characters and see if you could actually put a book together. I published the first book. And then because cartooning has always been my greatest passion, I've got cartoons that I had drawn back in the early 80s. So I said, you know what? I think I'm going to publish my second book solely based on my cartoons, because I want them to, you know, basically have the light of day shined on them. Yeah. So that people could see them. The first book was for woodcarvers. The second book was for me so that I could say my stuff's out there.
Yeah. Was it easy to get them published?
I published through Amazon. And they've got an extremely easy process. They walk you through every step of the way. I've got an aerospace engineer for a wife and two boys that get mostly straight A's. So I had three people that had to proofread everything I did before I sent it to the publisher. And then Amazon has a process where once you put the book together, because they give you templates to work from, you'll do a proofing of your book. They'll put it through their process, let you know any area that margins are off or, you know, issues with illustration. And then once you make those corrections, you submit it one last time and you're published.
Just picking up on something you just mentioned, you said you found some old cartoons that you did back in the 80s. Are you like me? You keep everything that you've ever done.
I am. I've got an accordion folder that's got little sketches and cartoons that I've done that I just, you know, file them away. And then in my bedroom, I've got two or three vanilla folders just full of cartoons, partial stories. And because I've got two children's stories that if I would ever get organized, I'd love to have those published.
Is that stories or picture books?
Actually, stories that I just need to get them written out and then do the illustrations. But, you know, yeah. Sometimes life gets in the way of you being, you know.
I know exactly what you mean. Everything. You do some teaching as well. So you're showing people how you do your craft. Could you tell me about that? What exactly do you do? Is it online or face-to-face?
Actually, it's face-to-face. I do some demonstrations on my Facebook page. It actually started last year. I had done some little one-on-one sessions with the vets at the DAV in my town, but I was actually contacted by a gentleman and he said, hey, when do you go back home to Nebraska to visit family? And I said, well, I haven't been back since 76. I said, why do you ask? He said, well, I was thinking that you could come to Nebraska and teach a class at the Doane Experience, which is an organization that is held every July. And I got off the phone and I was laughing and I said, this guy's out of his mind. And my wife said, what's that? And I said, he wants me to come teach a 5-day class on carving faces out in Crete, Nebraska. And she said, so they want you to come teach a class in your home state so you could go home and visit family. And you told him what? And I said, well, I told him no, I didn't. And she said, contact him back. Tell him if you can get me students, I will come. So I did. I contacted him back and I said, hey, if you can get me students, I'll come out. And I was blessed last year that they sold out my class faster than any classes in the past 10 years.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So I got to go home to Nebraska.
Yeah. And how did it go? Did you enjoy it?
It was the first time I had ever taught a class to more than two people at a time. And it was the best time I ever had. It was funny because I had talked to my wife on Wednesday, so halfway through the week of classes. And she knew that at the end of the week, I was going to go visit some family that I hadn't seen since 76. And she said, how's it going? And I said, honestly, I'm heartbroken. And she said, you are. And I said, yes, because this is almost over. And I said, as much as I want to go visit family, I don't want this to end. I said, this is probably the greatest experience I've had in my carving career.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So yeah, it was wonderful.
I'm going to put you at a time machine now. And if you could go back to when you very first started drawing as a small child, what advice would you give yourself?
I would have told myself to actually invest the time. And in that, I mean, I would have told myself that, you know, what you need to do is you need to get any schooling you can. You need to take any classes you can and do everything you can to be the best at this you can be. Because for the longest time, I looked at this as that it was just a hobby, my cartooning. And I never actually, I don't think I ever believed that I could make a living at it. It was predestined that I wasn't going to. And it was kind of the same with carving. I never thought that I would actually, you know, I never anticipated that I would be paid to actually go out to Nebraska or go down to Port Orange, Florida, and get paid to teach people how to carve faces. I tell myself, actually invest the time. Because, you know, everybody always says, believe in your dreams. But yeah. I actually believe that you have to invest the time to change your dreams into reality.
That's spot on. I totally agree with that. I was the same. I used to just, you know, sketch, draw cartoons. And there's always this imposter syndrome, I think they call it, where you think, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do this.
Exactly.
But I found the harder you work, the easier it gets then. So, you know, it's like you said, if you invest the time, you get the rewards at the end of it. Yeah, it's great.
You do. And I had a gentleman that asked me, he was a woodcarver. And he asked me, he said, if both were on the same level, if you could cartoon and have the same success as carving, he said, what would you choose to do? And I really upset him because I said I'd cartoon. And he said, he said, really, that's really disappointing. And I said, well, next time hold up a card and tell me what answer. I said, but my first love will always be cartooning. As much as I love carving, if I could have the same success and get paid to go around and teach people how to cartoon, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's great. Right, we're going to jump back in the time machine.
Okay.
I want you to go forward from now and say in 10 years' time, what would you like to have achieved in the next 10 years with your carving and cartoons?
Wow, that's a good one. Actually, you know, at this point in my life, if I could go into 10 years and guarantee what was going to happen, the only thing that I would wish for myself is that I would have the same enjoyment out of carving and cartooning as that I do right now. Because I've told folks, I said, you know, I don't do this for a living. I actually am a stay-home dad, and I've got a seasonal job that I go out and move plants around to local Walmarts. And that's what I do 5 days a week. For me, I told folks, I said, you know, I could stop teaching tomorrow and I could have my Etsy shop where it just no longer makes a single sale. And I could stop posting any of my images of carvings on Facebook. And that would be fine because, you know, everybody would forget about me because I've no longer made a presence for myself. And the carving community would move forward. But I would still want to be to the stage where I found the same enjoyment out of it. Because if everything shut down, if I wasn't teaching anymore, if I didn't have my shop to sell my works, and if I didn't have the people on Facebook following me, I'd still carve and I'd still cartoon.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I still have the abilities to do it, and I still find the same pleasure and enjoyment out of it that I do today.
That's it. That's what it's all about.
It is
definitely. Right. Just before we wrap it up, where can people find your cartoons, carvings, and books?
My carvings, they can find. I've got a Facebook page. They can also find my carvings in my Etsy shop. And everything for me is under the name Cartoons to Carvings.
Yeah.
The irony is that idea was based on the fact that one day I would like to take every one of my cartoons and carve them. And it turned out that carving became so popular, I went from cartooning to carving. So the name kind of, you know, it was almost like, you know, the destiny that I didn't know I was going to have.
Yeah.
But typically, if you put in cartoons, the number two in carvings, so Cartoons to Carvings, you can find me on Amazon where my books are sold. You can find me in my Etsy shop, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much for appearing on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been fascinated with everything that you've been doing. Really love the carvings. Just takes it to a new dimension. I do cartoons. I put them on wood, but you just take them the extra mile, well, an extra 1,000 miles in my book, and you produce some fantastic work.
Yeah, but I love your designs. I love the way that you work your cartoon design into wood. And I joke with people. I said, you know, I'm a face carver. And they say, oh, no, don't talk bad about yourself. You know, you're really good. And I said, no, but you don't understand. I'm not talking bad about it. I love carving faces. You know, and a lot of people tell me, oh, you need to go to the next level. You need to, you know, to start carving full bodies. And I said, you know, honestly, I need to do what brings me pleasure and joy, because that's what art is really about. This isn't a full-time job for me, so I need to do what brings me joy and makes me happy.
I'm sure you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed talking to Richard Holden, a man with an exceptional talent. Okay, now for a personal update. Now as I speak, in the sixth week of COVID-19 lockdown here in South Wales in the UK, I've managed to get so much done. I'm currently writing a novel and designing the cover myself, and I've almost finished the first draft of around 80,000 words. Designing the book cover was not easy as it sounds, as I've found out by listening to a recent webinar by the Self-Publishing Formula website. Stuart Bach, a professional book cover designer, gave a superb insight into what makes a great cover. His step-by-step demonstration using Photoshop made me realise that it doesn't just have to look great. There are also different fonts, layouts and visual styles for each book genre. This time in limbo has been very productive in letting me draw cartoons to my heart's desire. I have kept up a strategy of getting up early and getting stuck straight into work. A lot of people have switched off, staying in bed late, going to bed late, and generally not getting a lot done. This lockdown will pass, and as I said on my previous podcast, I don't want to look back and think I wasted time. This is the best opportunity you will have to get work done. I've listened to at least one podcast during my daily 10,000 plus steps around the garden. I've also taken several short courses and webinars, including practical advice on the benefits of Instagram. It is an excellent way to get your cartoons out there. I must admit that I've not been looking at that platform too seriously, but I've changed my view after listening to expert advice given by Stuart Grant on the Self-Publishing Show. The link is in the show notes. Self-publishing books isn't generally connected to cartooning. The point here is that the advice on Instagram is highly relevant for cartoonists, as Instagram is a visual platform, stripped away of all the waffle and white noise that you will find on others such as Facebook and Twitter. I'm not decrying those platforms. I'm just saying that Instagram cuts right to the chase and can display your cartoons and artwork in a great visual experience for potential fans and customers. I'm now on the case and will update you on what I find. Okay, moving on to your questions. The first is from Jeff Wilson. I'm not sure where Jeff is located on the planet, and he asks, I'm considering buying an airbrush to colour and shade my cartoons. I know that it can be done on a graphics tablet, but which would be the best way, as I currently hand draw and paint everything? Great question, Jeff. Before I even knew about graphics software, I bought an airbrush with a compressor plus an expensive hardback guidebook. I used it once because I discovered Photoshop almost straight after I'd bought the airbrush. Personally, I found the airbrush
cumbersome, messy, and too long to set up and clean. I know a few artists who use an airbrush and they can make some incredible artwork that would be very difficult to emulate on a graphics tablet. So it's horses for courses. You may prefer a tablet to physical airbrushing, or the other way around. Perhaps you will enjoy and find a use for both. For me, it was an expensive mistake, and I still have a virtually brand new Aztec airbrush in the box that I bought donkeys years ago. My advice is, if you can afford it, try both. The next question is from John Scott. Again, not sure where you are on the planet. John asks, I draw my cartoons in A3 size, as I find they look far better when reduced. I have an Epson A3 scanner that has passed its sell-by date. I'm struggling to find a good replacement. Is there anything you can suggest? If you're looking for a new scanner, there are only a few brands on the market that I would look at, and that is Epson and Hewlett Packard HP. I base that purely on my own personal experience, as I've used both and they were both very good. At the moment, due to COVID-19, it is difficult to find A3 printers either suitable or available. Your best bet is to go to the manufacturer's websites and inquire there for availability. As for models, I would go for the Epson Perfection V600 or the HP OfficeJet Pro 7740. That is, if you can find one online to buy at the moment. In the meantime, you could either take a photo of your large-scale cartoon and use that by importing it into Photoshop or other graphics software. You would have to do a fair bit of work to sort out any shadowing. That is the only problem. Another way is to do a split scan. This really only works effectively with black and white cartoons. Scan in each half of the cartoon and merge them with your graphic software. I do this all the time and have an article explaining exactly how to do this in Photoshop. The link is in the show notes. Before I go, are you a cartoonist or a supplier of artist materials? Perhaps you supply art-related technology or have an art-based business. I am looking for people to share their cartoony world with others on the podcast. If you're interested in being featured, please contact me through the link in the show notes. Okay, that's all for this edition of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Richard Holden. I certainly did. And thanks for listening, and catch you on the next one.